For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Fan.
Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Writing us at the Bradshaw and Bryant inbox right now, because it is, I'm locked out. Now there's a series of bizarre negotiations involving the programming director and a code that we need to get. It's so much simpler. You'd like to think at this point, highly successful radio station, there could be a better way to start a program than to have this nonsense take place. Because I want the direct link, the connection with the people. And that's how we do it. Bradshaw and Bryant inbox, booth@KFAN.com. But suddenly, it's you're locked out, you need a code. It's like Fort Knox, for God's sake. What changed over the weekend? I'm going to blame Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson was in here Saturday for filling in for Meat Sauce, I believe. I'm going to predict he decided to get into one of his own iHeart accounts of some sort, and that put the kibosh on the whole thing. I have no idea. So if you want to reach me, better way to do it right now is Dan Barrero, KFAN. That is my Twitter handle, and you might have a better shot at getting through. Hopefully at some point between now and 11 on Sermons, we will get this particular issue rectified. Because now it's asking... Now it's asking for a password, which I don't have. So then you say, well, forget my password. That's what Abbott said to do. But to get into the account, now it says, who are you? Now it's asking for an email or username. Then it's got, enter the characters in the picture or the words in the audio as well. Brianne, why is it this difficult?
I don't even understand what it's asking.
Honest to God, it's no one's security is being breached here. When it's just a matter of emailers trying to reach us and us trying to get that account where we can be in connection with our audience. What a great way to start the show. We got a lot to get to today beyond this controversy. And that includes a 9:30 visit, unexpected, but I think necessary, with John Athletic. Johnny Athletic will join to talk about the news that broke last night that we may have a new Minnesota Timberwolves owner. It appears if it happens this way, it'll be a slow cook process, but the name is sexy. The name gets people's attention. Name's quite polarizing, actually. A-Rod, with another billionaire, if indeed A-Rod's a billionaire, and I assume he is by now, have a good shot at becoming the next ownership group, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Glenn Taylor has confirmed as much. They're now in that exclusive negotiating window where some fine points, apparently, or finer points need to be resolved. But if they are, A-Rod would become, along with e-commerce mogul Mark Lori, minority owners of the club immediately. And eventually, 2 to 3 years down the road, would be the next majority owners of your Minnesota Timberwolves. The baton would be handed by that point by Glenn Taylor to A-Rod and Lori. Biggest question, if it ends up being a three-year process, 2 to 3 year process here, what are the odds? What does Vegas say about the odds that at that point, A-Rod and J-Lo would still be together? Because there's been a lot of controversy about that, if I'm not mistaken, that the engagement, New York Post had a story, we talked about it several weeks ago, engagement's off, they denied it, said they're working through some things. So to me, that's the biggest suspense, or the greatest suspense, when A-Rod owns the team, if we get to that point, who will be seated next to him as first couple of the Minnesota Timberwolves in those seats that Glenn Taylor historically has sat in with his wife and right, you know, courtside, right next to the bench, Minnesota Timberwolves game. We'll discuss all of that, the juicy, salacious stuff, and perhaps the more substantive stuff with John Krasinski at 9:30 this very morning. I have my own thoughts on a potential ownership change here and the cosmic significance of it all. We'll certainly get to that. We will get to some hockey. We will get to some pro basketball. I do want to start, though, with your Minnesota Twins. And it's been sticking in my craw basically ever since I heard about it during my vacation. And it was amplified again yesterday in the wake of another extra inning loss, this time to the Seattle Mariners, 4-3, a game played Saturday afternoon at Target Field. And on the broadcast, once again, we got the TV broadcast, significant whining about the poor, poor, pitiful Twins being subjected to this ridiculous gerrymandering of the rules, this tweaking of the rules that began last truncated season and has continued, where if a game goes into extra innings, each team starts with a base runner at second base, and that a pitcher can pitch well to very well and still end up saddled with a loss, and a team that is otherwise in regulation innings, won every game, could find itself in the sad position, the unlucky position, the unfair position of their third straight loss in this sort of situation. And I'm sitting there going, and here's the best part about it. When it happened to the Twins on the road, it was, well, especially a great advantage for the home team. Now we're the home team, and it's still a disadvantage. You know why it's a disadvantage? Because we haven't executed in extra innings. We haven't done, as silly as the rule may be, it's the rule. And everybody has to live with it. And in fact, all it really points out is that it's more important that you do the little things offensively, certainly defensively, when you're in the field, but offensively, when you start with that particular advantage and a man on second base. This was the Twins' 10th inning, bottom of the 10th. Man on second. Tying, in this case, tying run because the Mariners had already scored. But a man in scoring position. Astudillo pops to first. Cave pops to short. Buxton grounds to short. 0-3. Didn't come close, really, to getting a hit. Buxton hit the ball reasonably well, but it was Well, it was not exactly routine play because Buxton always makes it close at first, but it was an out. What did the Mariners do in the top of the inning? They bunted the lead run to third. Rogers muffed the bunt, allowing the runner at first to also be safe. But more importantly, not only did the Mariners get the lead run to third, they got this thing called a sacrifice fly. Their hitter, I think the same hitter who had a home run earlier in the game, got too fat a pitch on, I want to say, 0-2. And was able to do the one thing that when the Twins do it, we're lauded for. Got enough contact on it, lifted it into the outfield, which is all you're looking for there. You're not even looking for a hit there. And scored the go-ahead run. That's good execution. You can whine all you want about, well, nobody really hit the ball hard. That's not the way the game is set up right now. You either learn to adjust to it, or I guess you keep losing games. Let's go back to the previous extra inning loss. Twins had runners on first and third and nobody out. First man up singled. First and third, nobody out. Kepler strikes out swinging. Buxton grounds into a fielder's choice. Must have been a contact play. Polanco was thrown out at home. And Simmons strikes out swinging. In that game, guess what the Tigers got? Two-out single to win it. It's legal. Looked it up. You can get a hit. Whether it's a soft hit or a hard hit ball, a hit's a hit. How about the previous extra inning loss when the world's against us? And we know we would have won this game if we were still playing at the fairway. Astudillo strikes out swinging. We get a break. The lead run gets to third on a wild pitch. Arias strikes out. Cave strikes out. I got my numbers right. We are 1-for-10, no walks, 5 strikeouts in the 3 extra inning games. Now, this isn't enough of a sample size, I think, where you have to panic and say, we're done. We get to extra innings, we're going to lose. Or it's a sign that this team doesn't know how to hit in those situations. That's not my point. My point is we've got to stop the whining about the inherent unfairness of what's being worked against us. Execute. Quite frankly, you can argue if, you know, Sano could become a competent hitter, you win the game in the 8th inning. When you have the, I believe, runners on 2nd and 3rd. No, yeah, it was 1st and 3rd because of an intentional walk. Runner on 1st gets to 2nd because you're not going to throw to 2nd base with Buxton, the runner, at 3rd. It's Sano's chance to say, oh, you're walking the hitter intentionally in front of me. You don't believe in me, huh? You don't think I can come through here? Okay, I'll show you. Unfortunately, he did. He struck out looking. 15 strikeouts in this young season in 30 at-bats for Sano. That's another way you avoid the unfairness of the conspiracy against the Minnesota Twins to win in extra innings. That it's so cheap when a team does it the way they're doing it. We're going to have to get cheap then. Because the games, as far as I know, still count. I've not heard anything from Major League Baseball that says the games will only, if you lose a game in extra innings, it only counts half against your one-loss percentage. It still counts. So you either execute or you don't. Or you can just cry yourself to sleep and say it's not fair that our pitchers really haven't been touched all that much at all in extra innings. We're doing our job, and we're still ending up with losses. Well, you're not doing your job well enough, and you're not getting enough help from your offense. So get your offense smarter, better. Does it mean necessarily that you always bunt the runner from 2nd to 3rd? I don't think that's the case. To me, that probably should depend on who you have coming up in the lineup. Do you have a guy you trust to lift a fly ball and get your sac fly? That, to me, is what that's all about. it may not be automatic that, what Seattle did yesterday, bunting, is the best thing to do. It might be. There might be some other things you want to consider. I mean, we got the smartest people in baseball. So they may need to put their collective heads together and come up with something. But stop the incessant complaining and whining that the world is against us, that we've lost another game that's too cheap to really be called a loss. It's a loss. Play better, either in regulation or execute better in the 10th inning, and you won't have to worry.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
On the Fan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're in. We finally have solved the Bradshaw and Bryant inbox kerfuffle or difficulty.
Well, I'm certainly relieved.
Well, yeah, I mean, but how much sense does it make that the... What if Chad Abbott is busy? The code goes to him. My point is, for the last, I don't know how many months, there's been no need for any kind of a code. When we've been logged out here, you've simply been able to log back on because the login information has been right on the terminal screen. I mean, there's no big mystery here about what we're violating some protocol. We're not in anybody's personal email here. We're in the Bradshaw and Bryant inbox, which is for the people. Seems to me it should be a little simpler, but at least we're there now. You can email us, and I might even get it at this point. Booth, B-O-O-T-H, at KFAN.com. Johnny Paywall coming up next segment. We'll talk about the breaking news surrounding a lot of, I think, fair questions already being offered up to me on the possibility of A-Rod owning the club. One of the things we're going to talk about with Johnny is, and maybe it's my fault, but maybe I haven't been paying attention closely enough. But I don't have the same level of enmity towards A-Rod that a lot of people seem to. The key word that you hear on him is he's a fraud, a fraud. He's phony. He's disingenuous. He's fake. To which I would tell you that if we start eliminating people on the basis of fakery, I don't know that there's going to be more than 10 or 12 of us left. We're all frauds to varying degrees. And I don't find him on broadcast as annoying as other people apparently do. I know Johnny Athletic was fairly complimentary in the long piece he wrote about this story. And I was reading some of the comments, and he just got obliterated, just got destroyed, because a lot of people can't stand A-Rod. Whether, to me, this has anything to do with what kind of owner he would be, I don't think it's got much to do with it. But he's a personality, and you could make the argument that there might be some cachet established with that might be helpful to the Wolves. I will simply say this. It's difficult for me to believe, and again, he's got a partner here, and how they would arrange who's in charge of what. I'm assuming they would hire basketball people to be in charge of the basketball operation. But I got, in fact, a text from Gary Myers saying basically good luck with A-Fraud. And my text back was, he can't possibly be any worse as an owner than Glenn Taylor. I'll take my chances at this point, is I guess the way I would put it. There's no guarantee he'd be any better, but he can't be any worse, can he? I think there's every reason to believe it's time to take a shot on somebody else. I mean, Lord knows we've fired enough coaches and hired and fired enough general managers. Maybe the only way out of the curse is to fire, in this case he'd be firing himself, and getting a $1.5 billion in the process, the owner of the club. That's basically the way I would look at it. I would be, is it the miracle cure? We don't know. There's no way to know. But as a change, in this case for change's sake, I'm all for it. One of the odd things is the length of time here, ostensibly under before the new group would take over. And the reason Taylor has given is he wants to mentor. Really? That sounds to me like he kind of wants to hang on. And then there's the elephant in the room issue. They have no intention of moving the team. That's what we're going to hear, and it might be true. But notice how carefully worded that might be. Having no intention of moving a team is different than eventually moving said team. And what kind of safeguards would be put in there? What kind of financial penalties? And are the financial penalties not as intimidating to people at this level of high roller than it would be your average millionaire, for example? All that stuff we'll get into with Johnny Paycheck, or Paywall, I should say. Ron from Golden Valley, subject line whining. Dan, always nice to start a Sunday with you whining about the Twins broadcasters, whining about 10th inning losses. Just my two cents. What would you suggest I do, Ron from Golden Valley? Go along with what was offered up in the broadcast? It's not just been broadcast. It's been other people through the course of all three games. It's just not fair. That's calling out the whining. Is what it is. It's attempting to say, let's have higher standards than that. Let's hold ourselves to higher standards than, gosh, man, did they hit any ball hard? Did they even get a hit? By the way, did we not score a run, the tying run in the eighth inning without a hit? Hey, should that pitcher feel bad about it? Let's grow up. It's baseball. There's no crying in baseball. And if it were up to me, they wouldn't have kept the man on second base in the 10th inning rule in. But let's be honest about it. A lot of people last year said, it's kind of different, kind of nice. Okay, we'll try it. And I didn't hear an insurrection as it pertains to keeping it this year from people who are now just utterly bitter about it. It's reality. And so at some point, you're going to have to respond to it. And the Twins had plenty of time to do that. And it may just be, like I said, it's 10 at-bats so far. But if it counts against you as a loss, put it this way. If you win in the 10th the same way, you're going to take it. Believe me. And you're going to say, we don't make the rules, but we have to do the best we can using those rules. Dan is straw man. Who are all these people allegedly whining about the unfairness of extra inning rules? Dick Bremer is one. I read at least one Star Tribune game story. It might have been the second extra inning loss that was a complete apology to the Twins for how unfair it was that they lost the game. I'm hearing it from emailers, my own emailers. And it's from the guy who wrote this email is a guy. He's in the category that I love. He's one of those guys who, whenever he emails, all he is doing is whining about what the host is saying, and yet he continues day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, to listen. It's delicious.
Irony is a pillar of our existence here on the radio.
It makes my day. It's like, if you actually are as upset about the content as you say you are, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, what are you doing listening to this? I'd try something else. I mean, I love having you, but there's that great irony as well. Let's not lose any time. Let's give John Athletic all the time he needs to sink his teeth deeply into what has become the story of the weekend on the Minnesota sports scene. Will A-Rod be the next majority owner of your Minnesota Timberwolves? Johnny Athletic will answer that and many more of our...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
On the Fan.
John Krasinski generally joins us on Mondays, unless it's National Football League season, and sometimes it's Tuesdays. But he's with us today, given the breaking news from last night about the now, dare I say it, probability that Alex Rodriguez, along with a billionaire named Mark Lurie, are going to be the next majority owners of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Johnny, probably a pretty busy Saturday night for you to put this whole thing together. You got all kinds of stuff via the Athletic as well. Let me ask you this. In your job as an analyst, but also a reporter, there are times where you get leads and you get hints that a story might have legs, but you're not quite ready to go with it because you can't really pin it down. Was this that kind of story? Had you heard the name Alex Rodriguez at all before last night as you're putting together the piece?
Yeah, Dan, before he emerged, he came out of nowhere. I'll say that. Yeah, you're right. I mean, and especially I think with the Timberwolves, I feel like I usually have a pretty good pulse of things. But this, you know, in talking to Glenn Taylor after it all went down, this was very much like what happened in 1994 when Glenn Taylor kind of emerged out of nowhere to be the buyer of the Timberwolves. Like his name had not really circulated before it became public. Now I will say, like, I had been hearing that there were conversations going on, that things were picking up steam. There was actually, I'll tell you, there was actually another ownership group that I was looking at pretty closely. And I know had some meetings with Glenn Taylor, and so I was kind of keeping an eye on it. But when I heard the name Alex Rodriguez, my jaw dropped. Yeah, like I did not see it coming, and here he is emerging as, you know, the next, you know, him and Mark Lurie as the next owners. It was pretty much a shock to everyone.
Now, I don't expect you to have all the details financially, but how much of this money is A-Rod's? How much of this money is Mark Lurie's? Do we know?
Yeah, Yeah, I don't have the specific breakdown. What I was told from the Rodriguez camp is that it's a 50-50 partnership.
Oh, okay.
That they're splitting it right down the middle. Now, you can take that one of two ways. You can say, well, is that speaking financially where, $1.5 billion, you're splitting it two ways and that's the way it's going to be? Or is it in terms of the partnership and how they're going to lead this organization eventually? And I think that there might be some semantics involved there. Mark Lurie has more money than Alex Rodriguez. He is invested in several companies that I think are anticipated over the next couple of years to really go for big money on the open market, much like he has with his Jet.com and his other ventures. And so I think that he is going to emerge as kind of having a little more financial weight and wherewithal, but I'm sure they're going to bring in probably eventually some other partners as well. All of that is a little bit down the road because they're just coming in on a limited basis at the start here.
Should your average Minnesota Timberwolves fan view this as welcoming news, or should they view it with the usual fear and loathing that, uh-oh, out-of-town buyers, they're going to say all the right things now, but they can't possibly be as committed to the Twin Cities market as a Glenn Taylor, as a local guy might be, and all it means is inevitably this team's going to end up in Seattle, Vegas, or Mexico City.
Yeah, I've certainly heard that. That's all I've heard really for the last, I don't know, 18 hours or whatever it is, 12 hours since this has gone down. Look, I will say it is perfectly understandable for Timberwolves fans to be nervous when an out-of-town buyer comes in and wants to and is going to buy the team. That you should be nervous about a possible move in that situation. But here's the larger context that everyone needs to factor in to this equation. The NBA as an entity has lost a ton of money over the last year with the pandemic. The owners are very, very motivated to get that money back some way, somehow. One of the very quickest fixes, in addition to a new lucrative TV deal that's going to be coming, but one of the very quickest fixes is to expand and not to move teams. So the league right now is having discussions about expansion and about the $2.5 billion price tag that an expansion team in Seattle and an expansion team in Las Vegas or Vancouver or wherever would bring. That is a lot more money than a $500 or $1 billion relocation fee that the Timberwolves would pay for it. So there is a lot more momentum toward an expansion in Seattle and Vegas than any moves. And if the league expands in both of those cities, then where do the Wolves go? Are they going to Pittsburgh? Mm. Are they going to Kansas City? No. What the other thing that people have to understand is, despite this team not having a great following right now because they've been so bad, the Twin Cities are a top 14 market in the country. Like that, the league looks favorably upon this market that they want to be in. They just need a good team in this market. And so that's all of the things to say it is unlikely that a move will happen. I can never say never. I understand the nervousness and the skepticism, but those factors outside of whatever it is that Rodriguez and Lurie, or if it was somebody else that comes in, those are the factors that are weighing toward the team staying here versus moving.
Do you put this at 80%, 95%? Because as I understand it, right now, Rodriguez and Lurie are in this so-called 30-day exclusive negotiating window. Yeah. So there's still some stuff that has to be worked out. But is it viewed very much as the kind of stuff that almost always is worked out? How do we view the likelihood that these guys are going to end up being part of the mix and become limited partners?
Yeah, I'll say that. I'll add some context to this as well, Dan. But I think it's a very, very likely scenario that this happens. And I spoke to Glenn Taylor yesterday. He said that they have had zero disagreements so far. The big parameters of this deal are agreed upon. The price, A lot of the other a lot of the big things that had to be hashed out, those are all agreed upon. It's the smaller things that they have to go through in a $1.5 billion deal that need to be taken care of. And Glenn Taylor is very confident that there's not going to be anything that gets in their way. And same with Rodriguez and Lurie. Now, I'll say why that's important. Because if you remember, last August, I reported that Glenn Taylor got into a 30-day exclusive negotiating agreement with the former Memphis Grizzlies owner, Daniel Strauss. And at that time, when I broke that story, I talked to Glenn about it, and he was much more lukewarm on it. Just basically like, hey, let's just see what happens here. I don't know about these guys. We have a lot of talking to do. Nothing is set in stone, all of these things. So he was very much more cautious with me in those, in that dealing than yesterday when I spoke to him, when he was very, very confident and very certain that he has found the right guys for him to work with.
Does the $1.5 billion price tag surprise you at all?
A little bit it does. Yeah, frankly, Dan. Now, you know, I think that Glenn Taylor had been holding to that number very staunchly, and that's why several other groups came and went. One of the reasons I should say why several other groups came and went is they didn't want to pay 1.5. They were more in the 1.3 range. And then the other part is most of the other guys didn't want to ride shotgun for 2 years. And so the fact that, A-Rod and Lurie were both open to A, the price, and B, riding shotgun, I think is what put them over the top in Glenn's eyes. But you look at, this is a team with almost no season ticket base, playing in the second oldest arena in the league, and they haven't, and they're the worst team in the league. And so I thought that that would really depress the value a lot more. So to get 1.5 when you don't own your own building and you have literally the worst team in the league, that doesn't have that internal, season ticket base to kind of drive things when we come back from the pandemic. Yeah, I think it's a coup that Glenn Taylor got that much money. It's also a show of confidence from Lurie and Rodriguez that this thing is going to bounce back, and that once that new TV deal kicks in, if expansion comes, when fans get back in the arenas, they believe, and if they start winning here, they believe the value of this franchise is going to go up and up and up. And I don't disagree with that at all.
What is, and I don't know, this may be too deep, this may be premature and a little deep into the weeds, but I'll ask it anyway. Knowing what you mentioned about the arena, it's viewed as a relic, even though we not that long ago had a bit of a remodel, you know, that spruced it up compared to what it was. But still, I think puts it probably behind most of the best arenas. How are Rodriguez and Lurie going to deal with that? Because are we setting up here as soon as they get to town, or 6 months after they might assume control? The old, you know, we got to do something about this thing, and we're going to need help from the government. We're going to need help from the state because, yeah, it may be hard for us to move, but it might not be impossible for us to move, and might even be willing to pay whatever that penalty is. Are we about to embark upon another one of these arena sagas?
It's possible. I can't rule that out, Dan. I don't know. I haven't gotten any kind of intel from them specifically about this, but it's an arena that is a dinosaur, and it needs to be addressed one way or the other, whether you're actually pouring a ton of money into it or you're looking to build a new one. I think, like, the real interesting part for the Timberwolves about their relationship with Target Center is they're a tenant in that building. They don't own it. And you're seeing, like, most teams around the league, especially when they're building new places, they own the arena and all the revenue that comes with it. So I would imagine it has to be addressed in one way or another. And if they do decide to go down the road of trying to ask for public help to build one, that's going to be a tough sell. There's no question. The Timberwolves do not, as a brand, have any sort of cachet in the public eye here. And look, A-Rod is coming as an outsider, as a Yankee, as all of that. And so they're not going to have, you know, a ton of just internal built-in goodwill right at their doorstep to make something like that happen in this economic times too, I think that would be really difficult. We have seen several other teams build their own arena with their own money. And so I have no idea if there's any plans for that or anything like that. But if they want to try and go down the public route of getting public money for a new arena, I think it's going to be a tough sell for these guys.
Johnny Athletic joining us with the breaking news of that he was a part of last night via The Athletic, that A-Rod and Mark Lurie are negotiating to succeed Glenn Taylor as Timberwolves and Lynx owners as well. Do we know yet whether in this agreement there is a number by which, well, presumably a prohibitive number, at which these guys could say, we wanted to make it work here, but it's not going to work here, and we did find a place that we're going to go, we'll write you the check for whatever, $50 million. I mean, how specific has Glenn Taylor gotten about that aspect of it with you?
Yeah, so the lease for the Target Center, it only takes $50 million to buy out. And so that's chump change in a $1.5 billion deal. That's not going to affect or hinder anybody coming in from pulling that trigger if they feel like that's the way. Glenn has said in the past that he was going to put language and penalties into the deal that would deter an ownership group from moving. I have, in talking with other legal experts and even with other prospective buyers who have kind of been down the road on contracts with Glenn, I think that might be overstated a little bit. I don't know. I don't have the specifics on this agreement, but I'm not putting a whole lot of weight in what any language or penalties put into the contract as being the thing that will prevent Rodriguez and Lurie from moving. I think the infrastructural environment in the NBA and the thirst for expansion and the unwillingness of the ownership group as a whole wanting to abandon a really big market, I think those are the things that will keep the Timberwolves here as much as anything, more so than anything in the purchase agreements that eventually get signed.
That tends to be the better lever, as you say, because any of these numbers with people who are dealing with these kinds of billions at 50, as you said, 50 million, that does not get anybody's. It's sad to call that chump change, but in that world, it almost it is. You just cannot ever count on that being enough of a lever. So the other ones are what Wolves fans have to hope indeed get basically stand in the way of the team leaving. Can I hold you over? We got a lot more to get to. Do you have time?
Sure. Yep.
Well, I mean, I'm serious. I mean, that sure sounded like maybe you're about to go. I don't want to make your morning more difficult because there is really a lot more I want to discuss, and I think people are interested too.
Hey, whenever there's people that want to hear about the Wolves and my beef, I gotta take advantage. So let's do it.
That sounds good. We'll come back after a brief pause here. Top of the hour, more on the breaking Minnesota Timberwolves ownership news, because we got to get to the polarizing nature of the A-Rod personality and what we should make of that, how bothered, if you're a Wolves fan, you should be by that. And then there's also that tricky little deal of, what about this? What's this 2.5 year, delay before they would become majority owners? That might not be very inspiring to Wolves fans ready to move on from Glenn Taylor. We'll get to all that with Johnny.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
radio station.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature. And you will atone.
Number two of Sunday Sermons, Barrero and Brianne with you until 11. Cake Show, 11 until 1 o'clock. Johnny Paywall back with us. We carried him over from hour number one to get to more regarding the breaking news from last night that Timberwolves may be on the road to new ownership involving a baseball player, a former baseball player named Alex Rodriguez, and a billionaire business mogul named Mark Lori, who's been involved in a number of different businesses, including, I think, Walmart. Johnny, maybe we start there. What do we know? We know a decent amount about A-Rod. What do we know about Mark Lori?
Yeah, so he's kind of described as sort of this visionary e-commerce expert, and he started a bunch of different companies, diapers.com, jet.com, and like he sold diapers.com, I think, for $545 million. When he did jet.com, Walmart bought it for $3.3 billion just to get him in basically under their umbrella. And what people have said about him is he really revamped Walmart's online business. And now they're the number two online business in the world behind Amazon. He's also kind of I don't know if eccentric is the right word, but he's a big thinker. Like he just did an interview with CNBC in January, I believe, about wanting to design a new city with a new version of capitalism and all of these things. And so he's kind of this innovative guy, 49 years old. And I do believe like he is a real driving force in this partnership with Alex Rodriguez. They have been partners in a lot of businesses here. And you see it the whole time, a lot of times where A-Rod is the kind of the big name. And then, but then Mark Lori is sort of a little bit in the background almost as the guy pulling a lot of the strings. So I think he's hugely important part of this venture, and everyone is going to have their thoughts about A-Rod, whether it's for the good or the bad. But I do think that Mark Lori's presence is going to be incredibly influential in how this thing works out.
They tried to buy the Mets, correct?
That's right. Yep. Lori, A-Rod, and Jennifer Lopez tried to buy the Mets. They got outbid, $2.4 billion, and went to Steve Cohen. But they were very much far down the road with the Mets for a while there until Cohen came in and outbid them at the end.
All right. So if you're a Wolves fan that says, I'm ready for an ownership change. We've changed everything else. We've changed coaches forever. We've changed general managers forever. Presidents of basketball operations forever. Yeah, let's change the owner. And then I said, I got to wait 2.5 years? I mean, is this... I know what Glenn Taylor is saying. He's saying, I want a mentor. I want to be sure everybody understands everything. But is this Glenn Taylor wanting to have it both ways where he really can't quite let go of his baby? Because you could make the argument, if you're going to sell it, sell the damn thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this... What it comes down to, Dan, is what we've kind of known for a while, and that Glenn Taylor loves being the owner of the Timberwolves. He wants to be courtside when they're allowed back in. He sees this as kind of a major part of his identity, and I don't think he's ready to walk away, even though the team has been terrible and the decisions haven't exactly worked out for him. He wants that. He likes to have that status. But I will say that these guys are coming in, and even though they're not going to be technically the majority shareholders of this team for the next two and a half years, they're still going to have an enormous level of influence in decision making, in vision setting, in all of the things that a normal ownership group has. And so what they understood, to their credit here, is that they're just doing whatever they have to do to get in the door with Glenn. And there have been many groups that have come through here wanting to just buy it directly and have failed in that because Glenn wasn't ready. So what these guys said is, all right, we'll wait you out, Glenn. We'll do this. We know there's only 30 of these in the league, and we want to get our hands on it. And they have been assured that they will be directly involved in all of the major decisions. So, yes, it will still be Glenn Taylor's team, but this is definitely going to be much more than any of the other limited partners that he has. These guys are going to be really invested and involved in what's going on here for the next 2 years and then beyond.
The this is via The Athletic. I'm quoting you in one of the Athletic. You got like a mini piece that sort of sets up the more in-depth piece. So basically, to me, that's saying if you have a very short attention span, we'll give you the meat and potatoes story involving A-Rod negotiating for limited ownership. And in that, there's a headline that reads what this means for the Wolves. And you're quoted thusly. Adding a person with the star quality of Rodriguez to the ownership group instantly brings energy and sizzle to a franchise that has had almost none of that for most of its 30-plus years of existence. Now, I contrast that with a number of comments on your larger story where people said, my God, Johnny, you're way too kind to A-Rod, and an email that just came in a little while ago saying, guy's one of the worst drug cheats in baseball history, but we celebrate him in this town. So he's a very polarizing guy. What do we make of that? What should we make of that? What do you make of it?
Yeah, you're right. He is very polarizing. And in some ways, this is kind of poetic from a Timberwolves perspective, right? Because all I have heard, Dan, for the last 4 or 5 years, but particularly this year, is Glenn has to go. We have to get rid of him. Fans saying this. It's his fault. We need new blood. You need new ownership. Somebody's got to come in. And then this starts to happen, and lo and behold, it's the face of the New York Yankees who dominated the Twins in the playoffs, who certainly does have a star-crossed reputation as a player with his steroid use and those things, and he is polarizing. And so, like, I can see, fans, I think, are getting really swept up in that. If A-Rod would have purchased the Charlotte Hornets or the Milwaukee Bucks or some other team the Yankees weren't quite the symbol of evil empire that they are here locally, it probably would go over a little bit differently. But I guess I would just say, guys, you've wanted Glenn Taylor gone, and this is going to be as different from Glenn Taylor as you can possibly get.
Yes.
And I don't know if it's going to work out. I have no idea what A-Rod's strategies are going to be, what moves they are going to make. But this is going to be completely different from the mom and pop shop that has been run here for 26 years since Glenn Taylor died. And guess what, guys? Here's another little lesson for everyone. You want to start digging into James Dolan, Michael Jordan, Herb Simon, any ownership out there, none of them are squeaky clean. And so they all come with their things that you got to deal with. And A-Rod certainly has his baggage as well.
Interesting quote from Jamal Crawford, I believe, kind of reacting to the news. This was from about 15 hours ago. Dope for A-Rod, but KG couldn't get in on that after his blood, sweat, and tears and making them relevant? Nah, I'm not feeling that part of it. Now, in fairness to all involved, money talks, and getting the particulars in order is what's going to matter. This isn't the kind of deal you put together in a couple of weeks. This is a thing where you really got to be dedicated to the bit, have the money, etc. That said, is there any reason to believe that A-Rod and or Lori would say, well, actually, we'd love to have Kevin Garnett come in and maybe even run our basketball operation because of his association with this team? We want to mend that rupture. And with Glenn Taylor out of the way, we can do that. Is there any reason to believe that Garnett could end up in one way, shape, or form being a part of this new organization?
Yeah, I don't know about, you know, running basketball or things like that, but I certainly anticipate that they will reach out directly to KG and try to start repairing that rift. You know, A-Rod and KG posted something on his Instagram saying, you know, congratulations to A-Rod, all love and all those things. I have talked to people around Kevin Garnett who see this as a positive development. Just, you know, in Kevin Garnett's eyes, anything that pushes Glenn Taylor out is good. So, and let's face it, you know, kind of getting back to the concerns about A-Rod, which I think some of them are legitimate, but one thing is he does have reputation with athletes. With the, you know, with a Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell, I think he's going to command respect from them because he's walked in their shoes. KG certainly will understand and have respect for not only his playing career, but the businesses that he's built post career. And so I think that they'll be able to speak the same language and at least try to get him a little bit more involved or back into, you know, get the organization back into his good graces. I would absolutely expect that something will happen where they try to reach out and do that. What level of involvement he would have in an organization, that part I have no idea about just yet.
Do we have any, this is again early in the process, but do we have any understanding yet of what the management style or ownership style approach might be? Are these folks who, there's reason to believe they might want to have their fingerprints all over all of it, or are they more likely to be, we're going to hire the best people who know this particular sport?
Well, from what my impression is, they're definitely going to want to be hands-on owners in terms of really digging their fingers into the dirt and trying to see what's here. Now, again, like they have to go through the approval process. They have to, you know, they have to complete this deal, all of those things. But this is not going to be, a pair of guys who kind of sit back and just let things go and keep status quo and all of that. Now, the one thing I think that they will do or they should do is neither one of them have a background in the NBA in basketball. And so they may have relationships, already with others and things like that, but they're going to need some help on the basketball side. Maybe that's Gerson Rosas. Maybe he stays on. And I think the nature of this sort of arrangement where they are sitting in that riding shotgun with Glenn Taylor for 2 years is they're going to have to do some heavy evaluation and really get to know the league, get to know the franchise and look around. But I do think that they're going to be aggressive. Like these guys make things happen. Like they take pride in being entrepreneurs and getting out there and really pushing the envelope. And so I do think you're going to see big changes, probably more so business marketing, all of that things to start. And then, you know, maybe either this summer or going into next year and things is when you'll start to see, you know, kind of what their fingerprints and what their influence is going to be on the basketball side of things.
Where does J-Lo fit into all of this?
Good question. We don't know. You know, if you read the tabloids, it doesn't sound like everything is peachy in A-Rod J-Lo land right now. So I think that's a whole thing that needs to be worked out before it's decided if she's going to be involved in this or not. If they can patch things up and keep things moving forward, hey, maybe you would see her sitting courtside, you know, in game one next year, or something like that. But where that stands, I think the Facebook status, it's complicated, might apply to that.
A very different sort of first couple look that potentially would be compared to what we're used to courtside with Glenn, correct?
Yes, it would. And I think, like, that is the thing where this is going to be so different. And, you know, whether that is good or bad, I have no idea. But this is a franchise that has been overlooked, rightfully so, forever and ever. And just the simple fact that guys are involved, that this couple is potentially involved, brings a juice that has not been around
here. No pun intended.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just brings It brings something different.
Well, yeah, I mean, people get tired.
People are going to pay attention.
People, every day I get emails from people, we're tired of being in flyover country. We wouldn't be flyover NBA country anymore.
That's exactly it. I mean, this is what you guys wanted, and so here we go. Yeah, I think it's going to be an adventure. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know that it's that people are going to be paying attention now, and that's something wholly different than what we have seen here for a long, long time.
You're getting called out by the producer of the Bumper to Bumper show and the co-host of Cake Show, which follows us today. Listening to John Paywall talking to Barrera about Target Center being old, it is. It was finished in 1990. Williams Arena was built in 1928.
Yeah, well, that's very true. I think the history of success in the two buildings might be a little different.
Yeah,
so
that's true too.
That's a public university and a public entity.
Yeah.
The Wolves are not. Maybe they just need to raise the floor at Target Center and that'll fix everything.
Possibly, I would say maybe the Gophers should threaten to leave.
Oh,
you know, has a university ever successfully threatened to leave? To leave town, say we're leaving the city or the state.
That would be something. Relocate to Chanhassen, be right in your backyard.
Well, yeah, possibly that's true. We'll leave the basketball for another day, or maybe during the weekday, because this is much more entertaining and interesting and timely, quite frankly, because this. Yeah. I think caught a lot of people very much unaware. We knew something was happening. I don't know that we knew it was going to be potentially. With A-Rod. Thanks for the extra help on this Sunday morning. We will chat during the week.
Sounds good, Dan. Thanks.
Thanks, Johnny. That is John Krasinski. We call him affectionately Johnny Athletic as well. Bradshaw and Brian inbox has been located. Booth at KFN.com if you'd like to get in on the discussion. In fact, we can open the phone lines as well. Brianne, 800-320-5326. That's toll free. Or 651-989-5326. Emails already pouring in, reacting to our conversation. I do want to get back to a little bit more Twins talk. Talk some Gopher men's basketball as well, and a rather, I think, disappointing development that tells you that, to a certain extent, reality is already setting in on just how challenging the situation is going to be when it comes to men's basketball. And who knows what else? We got plenty of time. We're going all the way till 11 o'clock.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On the Fan.
Sunday Sermons is brought to you by JTR Roofing.
Toll free 651-989-5326. If you'd like to get in on the A-Rod potentially owning the Timberwolves discussion, along with a guy by the name of Mark Laurie, who's, I've said this before. I try as much as I can to prepare myself to understand different subjects. Sometimes I fail miserably, sometimes I do better than that, but. When it comes to people, high finance, and it comes to people who reside in those waters, I don't get it. I don't understand how you get to that place, what it is you understand about capitalism, what you understand about the world of business that allows you to create companies that then... you make worthy of interest to others to the point where you can then sell them for $500 million or whatever. It's so far beyond me and my comprehension. And we've had some business people who've tried to help me with that, and it's not, if I don't get it, it's not their fault. I don't understand the stock market. Any of that stuff is, part of it's intimidation, but part of it is just, I think sometimes you have an aptitude for something and some stuff more than others. And on all that stuff, it amazes me. And Lori seems to be one of those guys who sort of creates these things and then obviously is good at it, because if you're not good at it, you're not going to be able to sell it for the numbers that he has, or to then get positions in which you're highly compensated. And then you build, like in the case of Walmart, you build up their e-commerce to a place where then it becomes, I think, part of their regular business. What any of this has to do with what kind of owner he will have? Maybe nothing. Because in the end, I mean, you want good business people, obviously, to run your team. But I think most of us view it as more important that they understand their own limitations and then hire the best people to put this team in a different place in terms of the on-court performance. And that of course, is the great irony, the great tragedy, one could say, the sports tragedy of this story, is that we're once again left with the notion, the hope, that the Wolves are going to get a little bit of voltage, a little bit of a jolt, not from playing better, not from winning more games, but from getting a highly visible, if polarizing, owner in A-Rod who's just going to put them in the news. Because we all know that ultimately, even if there's greater buzz and nationally there'll be greater interest in this franchise because of the A-Rod name, eventually, if the product itself does not improve and does not become worthy and become professional, it ain't going to matter that A-Rod is involved with J-Lo or is a former Major League Baseball star or a former juicer, or all that sort of stuff is not going to make any difference. We're constantly, it's sort of the story of this franchise to a certain extent, that it's rarely about the basketball being better. It's, we're making another change. We got a new guy, and you know, he was impressive in the press conference. Really is. This new president of basketball operations seems sharp. You know, he's got everybody's aligned in the new organization and all this stuff. And that rarely lasts, because the basketball itself has to support that. Now, I will say the best organizations have effective ownership. And the best organizations that have effective ownership have owners who hire the right people, and maybe they get involved a little bit more than Glenn Taylor has in some areas, but they allow those individuals to do their job and do it well. That's sort of the nature of pretty much the history of this entire team, for sure. Emailer, well, I'll tell you what, let me take a phone call, because I asked for some calls on the A-Rod and the Timberwolves subject, then we're going to talk a little Golden Gopher men's basketball as well. Sam is calling us from St. Louis Park. Sam, you're on the Fan. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Dan.
Hi.
I just wanted to comment about this shocking news today. Alex Rodriguez becoming a new owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Minnesota Lynx. I'm someone who has personal experience with this guy, the valet at a hotel back about in 2007, 2008, the Chambers Hotel on 9th and Hennepin. And Alex Rodriguez was someone who stayed there quite a bit. He was actually, I believe, in the ownership group there with Ralph Burnett. I think he had a small investment stake. While the rest of the Yankees were staying sharing rooms at the Ramada, A-Rod was there in the Rockstar suite. And, was never impressed with his conduct, with his behavior. And this is around the time there were rumors of him dating Madonna,
mm-hmm,
flying around. He was still married with kids. He would bring his wife and kids in this hotel. And some of his behavior with women, I'll just say it,
was
inappropriate.
Inappropriate. Well, thanks for the phone call. The hard part about that kind of accusation is he may be telling 100% the truth, but we have no way of knowing. And so that's why I don't particularly, I'm not interested in going all that far with it, given there's no vetting in that process. Now, we know his reputation. How is that going to play? Well, it depends, I think, on what the allegations are, quite frankly, about how far it's going to be carried. And again, I, when it comes to inappropriate behavior, what's your definition of it? Are we talking about stuff that goes into the area of harassment, those sorts of things? That's a very different area for a lot of people than it might be the question of whether you're messing around with somebody when you shouldn't have. Wouldn't recommend it, would not exactly endorse it, but in a real-world sense, we're going to lose a lot of people when we go down those particular roads. So it will be worth following that story and to see if stuff comes up now that he would be, and I don't know how far this went. Like I said, when he was talking about the Mets, maybe it stopped to the extent that he didn't become part of the new ownership group with the Mets. And there would have been more stuff revealed at that point. It's worth paying attention to. It's absolutely worth noting. There are, as Johnny mentioned, a lot of people at this level, and it's not excusing any of it to say, though, that there are there are very few of these individuals that might be classified as squeaky clean. So I think we're talking about degrees and how serious some of these allegations might be, and we need a little bit more to go on than a phone call out of nowhere that might be 100% true, but is sort of difficult to vet. Saul is calling us from Blame. Saul, you're on the Fan. Hello.
Hey, Dan. How you doing today, bud?
Good, thanks.
I got 2 points. One's just kind of pertains to the Wolves and what I would do for the draft, and then the second one is kind of a hypothetical, you know, what if. But the first, I would I'm ready to blow it up with the roster. And with the, you know, there's a chance that we're probably going to lose our draft pick this year. But let's just say if we do hold on to that 3 pick, I would trade Towns and try to move up, get a couple of players in the top 5, Jalen Suggs being one of them, and maybe the Kate Cunningham guy or whatever, just kind of start out, get younger, go from there. And then my second point, you know, is,
how can we get any younger than we already are? Where everybody's 12.
No, I know, Dan. Yeah. I know, but it's a 13-win product with D'Lo. I'm not a fan of him.
Yeah,
Towns. I don't know if Towns is a guy that you can, kind of reminds me a little bit of AD, Anthony Davis. You know, they were kind of a 35-40-win team, and then he goes to the Lakers. But yeah, the second point, you know, we lost the Stars back in the early 90s, and that was a team with cachet, been to a couple of cups. It's a well-run team. I was kind of pissed to see him go, but hypothetically, what if we, this is maybe what the Wolves need is to just, you know, maybe they move to Seattle in 4 years, and maybe in 6-7 years down the road, we get a new team. Because you can almost say that this team honestly just needs almost start from scratch, just blow everything up.
Wow. Have a good day, man. Thank you for the call. Man, oh, man. Let's blow it up again. Whew, man. There's a lot of blow-ups. We've got a lot of explosions here. Well, in terms of moving, I think Johnny laid out the best reason to believe that's not as likely as you might be concerned with. I'd never rule it out. I'll say again, you're naive to think that any kind of penalty that's put in place would stop billionaires from making a move if they want to make a move. There is nothing that you can put in a contract that's going to get in the way of that. They'll write the check if they have to. I don't care what Glenn Taylor says. That's why I never trusted him. Glenn's like, oh, no, whoever I talk to, I'm going to get assurances that they're not going to move the team. Meaningless. 100% meaningless. Especially when it's out-of-town ownership. The best reason to think that even if they'd want to move the club, it's unlikely they'd be able to move the club is what he says. The owners want the expansion money in markets like Seattle and Vegas. That's how they make up some of the lost money, far more than the fee for transferring a team from one market to the other. Now, could that still leave a market that these guys view as worthy? Yeah, it's possible. That's why I don't think at any point you could rule the thing out. And it would be sad to the extent that None of it would be a statement about fan support. None of it. 0% would be about fan support in this case. I will argue, if you really play out the 30-plus years of this team's existence, it's astonishing that they've even had the attendance that they've had, given how bad the product has tended to be. This is a legitimate pro basketball market. And there's also the advantage of being top 14. As he said, if you're the owners, you don't want to move out of that. If you go back to when David Stern, the late, great David Stern, basically blocked the effort to move the team, the top rank, the Bob Arum group was going to buy it and take it to New Orleans. You go back to that story, that's what I recall in talking to people at the league level, was their frustration with Harv and Marv. They were not convinced that there was anything wrong with this market at all. And that's why they, more than they have in several other situations, stuck their necks out, Stern especially, and said, ain't going to happen, or we're not ready for it to happen, or we're going to find a reason that we don't like the Arum deal, or we're going to stand up for the market itself because the market's not the issue here. Now, ultimately, could new owners say, we don't care, it's Minnesota, we want to try someplace glitzier like Vegas? Yeah, but that goes back to whether the league is going to turn its back on the possibility of getting the kind of money that can help sort of compensate for the lost money over the course of the last year as well. Let's get one more break in. We'll mix in some more phone calls. I do want to talk a little Golden Gopher men's basketball as
On the Fan.
Toll free, 651-989-5326. Got time for a few more phone calls here on Sermons. Extended discussion with John Krasinski on the A topic. The announcement yesterday that Glenn Taylor is in an exclusive negotiating window with Alex Rodriguez and a business mogul named Mark Lowry to become minority owners of the Wolves for the next couple of years, and then eventually majority owners of the club after that. I'm assuming that A-Rod and Lowry are going along with this timetable, maybe because they felt like they had no choice. Now, you could say maybe it's because they kind of like the idea of this mentorship idea or concept. I don't buy it for a minute that that's why Glenn Taylor's doing it. Glenn Taylor can't let go. Or he kind of wants to let go, but he's not sure he wants to let go. That, to me, is the biggest impediment to this thing. Is if you're going to sell the team, sell the damn team. Move on. And give people a chance to see whether this can be vetted properly. You know, it's got to be approved by the owners. Whether there's anything that might get in the way in A-Rod's past or Mark Lowry's past. Just do it. Cut the cord, Glenn. The idea that, you know, he has to look them in the eye for 2.5 years and mentor them. If you want to keep the team, keep the damn team. But if you're going to sell the team, then to me, you don't need to be on that slow cook timetable, because if there's a belief that going in another direction might give this team new life, so to speak, new hope, then start the clock right away. Be selfless. You had your run with the club. We all thank you for saving the team when it was going to leave. You're gaining a decent profit, I think it's fair to say, from your purchase price. And just move on. That's the part of this, to me, that I find the most classic Glenn and the most annoying part of the thing as well. Who else does this way? Now, if there was a reason on the side of the of A-Rod and Lori that they literally said, well, we need this amount of time to get the money together to make that final purchase. That's something else entirely. But it's not, I don't think so far, been necessarily framed that way. And the idea that they're going to be very involved now as minority owners, what does that mean? If it's still not their baby, then ultimately Glenn Taylor is going to break all the ties, isn't he? So that's the part of that to me is the most annoying part of this entire deal. Oh, Gophers, real quick. The news breaking that Gabe Kalscher is going to transfer to Iowa State. That's not a good sign to me at all. I know we've got some people coming our way. None of them are going to be, you know, game changers. But Kalscher, I think, was originally recruited by Ben Johnson, among others. He's decided to move on. He's trying to make it clear it's not a statement, but that he just sort of wants a fresh start, that kind of thing. And we all know about his shooting woes. We also know that he is one of the few players on this team who could guard. It was a dreadful defensive team last year, and it was Kalscher was one of the few guys who could actually guard anybody. So I don't, you know, I'm on record. I'm disappointed with the entire process regarding this coaching search and this approach that has been taken. And I'm willing to, once this starts, I'll try to keep an open mind to it. But this isn't particularly encouraging. I mean, if you go through the list of, I'm reading from the Star Tribune story, Kalscher was the only Gophers player in the transfer portal considering returning to the team. Marcus Carr, Jamal Mashburn Jr., Trey Williams, and Liam Robbins are all the others. None of that is, I don't think, bodes very, very well. I think this is going to be a really, really difficult rebuild, whatever. Now I think it's going to be more difficult rebuild than it might have been if Richard Pitino had indeed stayed. So we'll see where that goes. Let's take a call from Mark in St. Paul. Mark, hello.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
Thanks for taking the call. I think this thing with the A-Rod could work a couple ways. Now, if he takes the team over, it could be like the Wolves. You know, the Wolves are the owners of the Vikings, of course. You very seldom hear them in the news. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
As far as making all these noises like A-Rod might do because he's a former Yankee, which I'm a fan. But then we can look like Calvin Griffith. Now, he was the owner for the Twins. He didn't spend the money. Or then they can look like George Steinbrenner, where they spend the money, but they micromanage the team. Now, a good owner would just say, I'm going to give you guys the ball. I'm going to set up my team and who I want to be in what place, and you guys can run it, and that'll be it. Even the guy that owns the Wild, you very seldom hear him. And I think if the team can do good and keep building and possibly get a championship-caliber team, nobody will say nothing about A-Rod or whoever owns the team.
Well, no. Thanks for the call. That's the issue that we were talking about earlier, is that A-Rod's going to be very clearly a lot more visible than the Wilfs. I don't know if he's even, with the ego he has, I'm not even sure he's capable of being as invisible. That doesn't have to necessarily be a bad thing. Depends on how your visibility manifests itself. If you're a presence because you have star power, that can work to your advantage as a franchise, as long as it's not for the wrong reasons and it's not about being infamous, which is probably a story worth following as we go forward here. But it's that you get so involved in the operation that you don't allow the people who are running the basketball side of it to do anything. We're back to the sad reality that it's rarely, whenever there's a feeling of we got a little buzz going for the Wolves, it's so rarely about the basketball itself, and that's what has to change. Regardless of whether the person who's owning it is, you know, a big-time box office name or somebody that no one has ever heard of. Now, might his box office make this a more attractive franchise even for potential free agents? Yeah, potentially. But that's only going to happen if the product itself becomes good enough that some players say, yeah, you know, it's kind of cool. They got A-Rod there. They seem to be going in another direction. It's not a mom-and-pop operation anymore. They're trying to go big time in some other ways. But if the team still, you know, has a .333 winning percentage or less, it's not going to matter. In the end, you're going to go to places where you think you have a chance to have some success. Andrew is calling from Detroit Lakes. Hi, Andrew.
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Good. You bet. That's exactly what I was calling on. The one glimmer of hope, the caveat that the Timberwolves do stay here, which I agree, there's 0% chance that that's a lock that they do. But if they do stay, the one glimmer of hope that Wolves have now with this change is that, to use one of your terms, that this provides the voltage end of this product that free agents finally look at this as a possible destination rather than just, you know, canceling it immediately because it's Minnesota. And the one thing is that's good, I think, is that A-Rod was a very good, granted cheater, but very good baseball player. He never made his stake in basketball, and he's also done it. He's got to this point as a business guy. So I think if free agents come here, big money contracts, whatever the case may be, and maybe can learn some sort of business savant from him after the life of basketball, they might find this as an attractive place to come play basketball, and then hopefully that turns into a better product in the court.
Thank you for the phone call. Yeah, that's the best case scenario. Long way between here and there, and quite frankly, like I said, I'd rather have the clock started sooner on this whole situation. Tim Tebow guy regarding the A-Rod purchase and the timeline. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey Dan, just want to say as always, I'm a little man. You're a great man.
Thank you. I always appreciate that. I'll always, you know, you stroke the ego of the host. You can't lose.
No, exactly. That's the way I think about it. You're a poet laureate, so in every regard.
Of course.
So, but about this A-Rod purchase, I was just wondering about the timeline of when he will officially kind of make his impact here in terms of the Timberwolves, not the Twin Cities, because there's no linkage to him being one of us. In terms of the Timberwolves, do you think it's about like 3 to 5 years? And I'm going to hang up and listen.
All right. Thank you for the phone call. Well, I believe the way it's been written, it's a 2 to 3 year mentorship for Glenn Taylor. And I'm assuming that could be moved up a little bit, moved down a little bit. I have no idea. I mean, again, the mixed messages that Glenn has made has conveyed over the years is, I think, proof that he's not exactly sure what he wants to do. It's very clear, I think, that there's no one in his family that wants to mess with this, and I'm sure that's the reason that it's prompting this whole thing. By the way, he bought the Wolves for what was believed to be $94 million. I think that's the number most people have gone with. This was after the New Orleans move was rejected by the league. $94 million. So you can do the math on that. Bought it for $94 million, is going to sell it appears, for $1.5 billion, which would seem like a pretty good return on the investment, but it's the nature of, you know, sports ownership and sports franchises. What's interesting to me, and we didn't talk about this with Johnny, the range of numbers as it pertains to team worth. I think the last list I saw, because I wanted to talk about it several weeks ago, and I don't know if I kept the list. I thought the range was that the most expensive NBA teams were valued at about $4 billion. And we were way down. The Wolves were, I want to say, bottom five for sure in terms of valuation. But I'll double-check that range. That's a wider range than I might have expected when I looked at that list, if I have that, right. Now, apparently, as I said, other ownership groups tried to push Glenn down from the $1.5 billion, and Johnny was telling us that that's part of the reason some of those deals went by the wayside, that Glenn was very stubborn about sticking to the $1.5 billion. I almost thought that was low in the league, but relative to other teams, perhaps not. The arena situation, as bizarre as it sounds, might well enter into it, given that the arena, it's not ancient, but it is outmoded. Even with the cursory changes that were made, they were kind of Band-Aid-ish kinds of things. It's all relative, as absurd as it sounds. it's all relative in terms of the amenities that you have. Now, here compared to other arenas, once again, right now, based on the product, it wouldn't matter if the Wolves built another Taj Mahal. It wouldn't. If they built the best basketball arena in the world, it's all meaningless until the product itself is a place where people want to go and that they want to fill the thing up. Dan is calling us from, looks like, St. Paul. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Hey, some quick basketball thoughts. But while I was on hold, I thought of this funny tidbit. So I just turned 40, and I was recently with my college roommate from the University of Minnesota. And we were talking local sports radio shows, and I mentioned that I listen to you, and I find you, I find us usually agreeing on most things. And he mentioned, he reminded me that 22 years ago when we were freshman at the U of M, I sent you the most blistering, scathing email when you wrote for the Star Tribune.
And you did.
I think I put more more effort into this than my senior paper.
Do you remember what I had written that had raised your ire?
It was just one of your litany, and I'll keep in mind for posterity's sake. I was 18. I was still optimistic about the sports world in Minnesota, and it was just one of your typical. Back then,
savage, vicious, sarcastic,
negative,
snarky,
negative, condescending.
You nailed it. Pretty much nailed it. That's me to a T.
But this is just funny because now, like I said, I'm 40, and this is the true test of age.
You figure it out. You got there. It took you a while, but you got there. That's okay. That's all that matters.
22 years ago, I feel like I should apologize to you because you were right all along.
That's okay. You don't have to apologize. Not necessary. We've all made our mistakes.
But honestly, man, in terms of Gopher basketball, I agree with you that I was kind of underwhelmed with the Ben Johnson hire. But as far as seeing all these guys transfer out, I'm kind of in a camp of I really couldn't care less. I mean, I wasn't impressed with the team any of the last few years. I know we had some quote-unquote big wins last year, but I kind of chalked that up to fluky playing above your merit. Mm-hmm. And as much as I also enjoyed listening to Pitino on your show, I thought he was engaging and fun. I didn't think he was in it. I didn't think he was, pushing the envelope. I thought he was actually constantly kind of playing the, nobody's won here before, so why do you expect me to? So I'd rather blow that thing up like they're doing now, and they couldn't be any worse than they were last year. I mean, I think they were 12th out of 14 in something called the Big Ten Conference, So
it was not good. Well, look, I get your point. Thanks for the phone call. I'd contrast this a little bit, with Indiana, where almost everybody that matters has come back. Now, you could say those are more talented players in a couple of cases, and so you might be more interested in having them back. But I would also submit that the same people who are saying it's no big deal that Kalscher is going would be making it a huge deal if he did decide to come back as a statement about what Ben Johnson's trying to build. Now, maybe he didn't want to be here. I have no idea. Or didn't want him here. But the point is that can be played. I've heard Gopher people play that both ways. But if you're a Kalscher fan, you can't suddenly stop being a Kalscher fan and say, well, really, he was overrated. Wasn't that good? Now that he decides not to go. That's an old trick that Sid used to do over and over and over again, and it got a little bit on the old side. Is it going to be the difference between whether Ben Johnson succeeds and doesn't? No, not that simple. But we're all looking for a little bit of signs, and even the transfers that are coming in here, there's nothing overwhelming, quite frankly, about any of them as well. Cake Show is next. I'm sure he'll talk plenty about the ownership story. I'm guessing Micheletti. There's hockey to get to. I didn't even mention what happened to St. Cloud in the NCAA title game. That did not go very, very well against UMass. I'm sure they'll get into that. And I didn't talk Wild today. What happened? When we last left the Wild, they're the best team in hockey. Then they get humiliated Friday night, find a way to lose a game with bad puck luck in OT Saturday night after the opposing team tied at the end of regulation. He'll get into all that, I'm sure. I'm back tomorrow, beginning at 3 o'clock on a program called Bumper to Bumper. Thanks for listening.